So close, she stood to me. Everything wrong, she could have brought me. The sun. When I was mean, she never said go away now. I was a king to her, who's gonna make me.
Not yet. Yeah, can we herd him back in? Lonnie, can you give him a hand and herd? Okay, we're going to get started again. Wow. Great. Miguel, recording on? Great. Okay. I want to welcome you to the 54th Annual General Membership Meeting. For those of you who I have not met, my name is Bob Lagasse. That should be obvious from the last session. I will be moderating and reporting during this session. Feel free to ask questions anytime during the business meeting. If you have a question or want to make a statement, that's fine. And then the next thing I want to do is, again, thank our sponsors, particularly our diamond sponsors, AgriCoatings, Color Biotics, Florida Coastal Colors, for their contributions, platinum sponsors, Premier Tech, Viably, and Vermeer, our gold sponsors, Bandit, Morbark, Kellogg Garden Products, Ecoverse, Reliance Packaging Materials, and T.H. Glennon, and then our silver sponsors, Pro Impact, SPR, Chromascape, Profile, and West Salem Machinery. So thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to seeing all of you in the – please tell them thank you when you're in the exhibit hall tonight, if you don't want your registrations to go up. Next item on the agenda is the President's Report. So I'll call Jim Weber up. Hold on. I have to shift programs. Great. Spacebar.
No, I do not. You're all done. Okay, just some of the stuff that the board members, myself included, have been working on. So our July meeting that we had in beautiful Milwaukee, thank you, Randy Tire, that was great, was the DEF system and the trucking regulations. A lot of you guys run trucks, you know that your driver will be going down the road. Next thing you know, you get a phone call, hey, went into limp mode. On July 29th, the EPA backed down on a lot of the regulations. So the new regulations are new diesel, after 2027, new diesel on-road trucks must be engineered to prevent sudden severe power loss once DEF fluid is depleted. Existing vehicles, the EPA is allowing manufacturers to update software to allow that as well. This is in play right now. Timeline for DEF depletion warning. A DEF problem is detected. A warning light illuminate for 650 miles or 10 hours with no performance impact. After initial period, the engine torque will drop by 15%, but speed will not be limited, allowing for the continued normal operation. Derate after 4,200 miles or 80 hours. The engine will derate by 30% and still allowing for operation. Finally, after 8,400 miles, certainly a lot better than what we had before where you literally got a warning and it just started going into limp mode right away. Positive changes with DEF system. Why these are happening, reduce unnecessary downtime. Currently, DEF system design causes sudden power loss or engine derates, which causes disruption for farmers, truck drivers, small businesses, people in the mulch industry. Address operators' concern. The new guidelines is responding to widespread complaints and concerns from the diesel industry about the economic impact of current systems. I personally know a owner of a big Freightliner dealership in Columbus, Ohio. Went to a OSU football game, national championship in Indianapolis a couple of years ago, which we won. Thank you very much. But he was bragging about how much money he was making off of fix and regen issues. So a lot of these dealers, they're for it. And, you know, who's paying the end? So I sit on a board of a local bank in Columbus, and once a month, regulators come in and give us a little speech. One of the things that they talked about was don't loan money to owner-operators because if they buy a used truck and that truck breaks down, they don't have the money to get it fixed. So certainly some severe problems that the trucking industry has had with this whole DEF system. So who has exemptions in the DEF systems? Military, FEMA, disaster relief, national parks, fire trucks and ambulances, emergency relief operations, pre-2000 engines. Some of them are 2007, 2008. Underground mining, small marine engines, engines for testing and display, manufacturers' owned vehicles, internal use, you know, other stuff like generators. You could buy a backup generator. Doesn't have any DEF system on it whatsoever. So a thought that we have is, why can't our industry get a exemption for fire protection? So having the ability to stand by the equipment, having the ability to have standby equipment in the event of a fire. If other industries can have an exemption, what are the chances of our industry getting an exemption? So, example, a couple years ago, we had a fire in one of our piles, and the only loader I could use to work on that was a Cat 980C that was pre-death. And can you imagine you're up on your pile, you got a fire, and you're headed downward, knowing that you have to back up, and then you go into limp mode, you're in trouble. So, and, you know, the rule is, if you're going to have something that's exempt from the regulations, you can only use it for that specific purpose. Well, how many times have you seen a fire truck go to the grocery store to go get groceries? I mean, they use it for other purposes as well. So, you know, just because you may not be putting out a fire that day, are you working on fire prevention to make sure that you're not going to have one? So we're certainly going to, myself and Larry Deuce, we're going to be the guinea pigs to reach out to the EPA and try and see if our industry can get an exemption for some of our equipment that we use at our facility. And then last couple of years, I've been talking about this, the whole waters of the state. So building for today, planning for tomorrow. So this is a picture of a facility that we have in Columbus. It's at a 1% grade, no catch basins in the entire facility. The only catch basin is one that's in the pond. You see the pond where it says straw bales and gravel strip around the pond for additional filtration. And then that cup that you see, that's actually the EPA was there about 3 weeks ago just taking their annual tour. And it's pulled the cup up. It's like, it looks pretty darn clean to me. I don't mind drinking it if you want to sip too. You know, it's always been, by the time you build a facility, by the time you're done, you think you've satisfied everything. Next thing you know, the regulations change. So just because it meets today's standards doesn't mean it's going to meet tomorrow's standards. So one of the simple things that you always think about with pollution or particulates in your water, storm water, is the solution to pollution is dilution. You've always heard about it before, parts per million. So if you need a 2-acre pond, you put in a 4-acre pond, you know, your parts per million are certainly going to go down. The next thing you know, you've got a sample of water that they don't even need you to take sample. They know it's good. Other things that you can do with pond, aside from using it for your water source for coloring, or fire protection, you know, I guarantee you're going to find your employees out there fishing on the weekends or in the evening or whatever. I don't know what I just did to it, but shoot.
Ouch. Hold on. Hold on. Without a presentation board. There it is. Yep. That's it. Huh.
Nope. All right. It was just me on a jet ski. Yeah. On the
on the thing. Wait, let me back up and try again.
That right there.
No, it just doesn't want to kick over. No. But there you are.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. So got up to 65 miles an hour, if you wanted to know. But, all right. That's it. That's all I've got. So just some of the stuff that the board works on, looking out for our industry. Thank you. Yes, do you have a question? He's not going to say no def. I think that would, it's just, he deregulated some of the stuff or reduced the regulations, but for him to go to 100% no def, it just, I think there'd just be too much opposition on it. I'd love to see that, but I don't think it's going backwards that way. Yeah. So the endangerment rule is being reinvestigated, you know. Really, truly, how much are we saving the environment when you have to spend more, use more diesel fuel to clean the air? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know who invented this, but probably the people who invented the DEF fluid, but certainly doesn't make sense. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. In answer to your question, a little more explanation. The current rule that rolled back the timing of the limp mode and power rollbacks, et cetera, will affect all but the NOx and the particulate matter regulations for diesel engines. Those will remain in place. However, EPA is now preparing to challenge the 2009 endangerment ruling, which is the whole basis for greenhouse gas emissions. And if that happens, then they may well roll back the NOx and the particulate matter. But that's going to end up in courts for years. But it may start here within the next 6 or 8 months, because they're preparing the rule roll back now. Okay, next item. With Treasurer Bain's permission, Jessica, can I present the Treasurer's report? Of course, thank you. This is our consolidated report for the MSC and the Mulch and Soil Research Foundation. That was conducted by independent auditors, CRI, Carr Riggs, and Ingram, and was approved by the board in July of 2025. Our current cash equivalents were at the time, this is the end of 94, so this is, I'm sorry, 2024's fiscal year audit. We're on a calendar year. So, cash and equivalents were $911,000. We only had $799 accounts receivable. We had $5,000 in prepaid that we paid for next year's hotel, because you have to put a deposit down. And we have investments in physical assets, equipment, which is our test equipment for the certification program, of $225,000, giving us total assets of $1.142 million. Accounts payable were $37,000. Deferred revenues, and these are revenues that the auditor defers past December 31 of the calendar year, which they're auditing, so it would be everything that went into the 2025 year from 2024. So if you paid your dues in July, then they would only allow me to recognize half of your dues, and then the next half is deferred to the next year, and that's what this $279,000 is. And that when the calendar turns over, then that comes over into this year's books. And unrestricted net assets for $826,000, again, balancing liabilities to $1.142 million. Anybody have any questions? On our income statement for 2024, most associations get about 70% of their income from dues. We get 34% of our income from dues. We get 31% of our income from certification. We get 27% of our income from the annual meeting, 5% from interest and investments, and 2% from advertising for the newsletter, et cetera. That translates to $251,000 for meetings and courses, which would be the plant manager's course and the annual meeting. Advertising, $18,000. Certification, $285,000. Member dues, $315,000. Interest, $27,000. And investment income, $16,000. And the auditors rolled in $6,201 that were restricted reserves from the foundation, and they were the donors that had the restrictions on those funds, removed their restrictions and made those available to the foundation for any project that comes up next. So we have total revenue consolidated of $921,672. Our expenses, program expenses are 81%. Admin expenses are 19%. That translates to certification program, $192,000. Memberships and seminar, meetings and seminars, $220,000. Member support, $173,000. G&A or overhead, administrative costs, $134,000. Total expenses, $722,000. Our net revenues last year were $199,000 off two very successful meetings that we budgeted for half of what we got for the plant managers, and we had a blowout meeting last year that set a 50-year record, a 54-year, 53-year record, and now we have set a 54-year record at 251. Anybody have any questions about the treasurer's report? If not, is there a motion to approve the treasurer's report? Randy? Jessica? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstain. Motion passes. Our annual meeting last year, or for this year, I'm sorry, our membership for this year. Category A, 21, which is less than $2 million, 21 members, 2 million to 5 million, 26 members, 6 million to 15 million, 29 members, 16 to 25 million, 6 members, 26 to 50, 4 members, 51 to 150, 1, and over 150, 3. For, and then we have 42 affiliate members. Affiliates are people who supply products and associates. We have two associates. Associates are members who supply services, brokers, et cetera. We have one nonprofit member, so our total membership is 135. Was it about the mid-80s, we were down to 16 members. So we have 135 members. The annual meeting, this is 10 members out of pace, actually. So we have 241, but at the time I did this a few days ago, it was 125 producer members, 89 affiliate and associate members, 17 non-members, staff 9, press 1, and for a total of 241. This is, that's the large, last year we were 226, So that's the largest in the last 54 years. We have set a record 5 years in a row. So we really appreciate your coming and participating and supporting the council. It makes a huge difference. Program activities. We represent the council before the AAP, FCO, AFCO. If you don't know what that is, that's the Association of American Plant Food Control Officials, who are all the state officials that regulate your labels for potting soils, fertilizers, soil conditioners, and soil amendments. And that's gotten quite complex over the years, particularly with the new biostimulant regulations that a lot of states have adopted that were modeled after APCO when they adopted it year before last. So there's been a lot of activity there. And if you have issues with any of the states and you want to make us aware of that issue when we go to APCO meetings, we're happy to discuss them with the proper state officials. And they can't put me off sale. So I can ask them pointed questions. We also did the U.S. Consumer Mulch Survey, which you may have seen in the August newsletter, as well as the Consumer Soil Survey that showed a moderate decline in packaged goods and an increase in bulk materials in 2025. New and expanded state and legislative regulatory monitoring. Everybody gets a copy of the weekly legislative report. And as long as we've been doing that, we've only had one member ask to be taken off the list, which is highly unusual. So we appreciate you all supporting that activity. If you have any questions about what we're reporting on, what happens in any state or federal legislative activities, let us know. We'll look into it further. If you have any special issues, we can focus on special issues, either state, federal, or multi-state, if you want to make an inquiry, and we can keep you up to date on that. We also have a new regulatory system that was introduced just a month ago by our service provider, and it makes it more compatible with what we're reporting in the legislative reports. We haven't worked out how we're going to present this because the regulatory activities are kind of repetitive, and I don't want you to have to go through a bunch of repetitive things. That's what we're here to try to help you do. But we should have, by the end of this year, worked out a system with the provider that we can give you a report that will save you time and keep you advised and keep you from being blindsided on any new regulations in your state or in any state that you're doing business in. Plant managers training course this year was on fire BMPs, operation managements, weights and measures, bulk loads. We also did personnel safety. We also did minimum lean manufacturing. Was very well attended. We had 41 participants. We budgeted for 25, I think. So that was a very successful event, two-day event in Las Vegas. I expect we'll probably do another one in August in Las Vegas again next year. So you might want to put that on your calendar. We don't have any dates or specific program yet, but we'll keep you advised. We also did the bulk measurement committee's been working on the age-old question of proper BMPs for bulk measurement, bulk loads, certification committee, and the all-natural certification subcommittee has worked very hard to come up with new standards, which you all approved in a special meeting last March. Thank you for your support in that. It's really hard to get people together for a vote like that, but you were very helpful and got the job done. And a lot of congratulations to the board for working very hard to help round everybody up. the all-natural mulch, we have a new all-natural mulch certification program, which we'll discuss a little later, and we're still working on an all-natural soil certification to let you identify products that serve the underserved market of consumer interested in organic and all-natural products. The NNQ newsletter, the weekly legislative reports, and the special alerts come out, newsletter every other month. The weekly digest, I try to get them out every Tuesday or no later than Thursday. Special alerts came out. You may have seen a bulletin recently on ERP, extended producer responsibility programs. There's one state now, Oregon, has passed and put into effect ERP, and this is a regulation that basically requires anybody selling a packaged good in the state to register with a nonprofit producer responsibility organization. You pay a membership, and then you agree and contract to pay a fee based upon the amount of products you sell in the state in order to offset the state's expenses for disposing and recycling packaging. This is going to affect all of us. Oregon's in effect now. California and Colorado go into effect in January. Minnesota goes into effect in 27. There are 8 states that now require it. There are 11 other states that have pending legislation, which we have been reporting on. We did put out a bulletin on this probably midsummer. If you didn't get the bulletin or you'd like another copy of it, let me know. We'd be happy to send it to you. We are investigating the packager responsibility organizations and what is going to be required. It's difficult because we can't get in to get information unless we sign up and contract, and we're not a packager, so we can't sign up and contract. But we will monitor this and let you know what's happening. When you're fighting for a nickel a bag, we have no idea what these costs are going to be. And frankly, everybody that has had access, the price structure is not established yet. So we'll let you know when we have more information. The Diesel After Treatment Committee has dealt with the issue of after treatment, and Jim made a great presentation on where we are with that. And, of course, the Mulch and Soil Research Foundation is available to do research projects if you have a project that would be useful. We have our federal legislative monitoring program, which is available at this website. If you want to go in there, you will find a map like this for legislative programs, and you click on the states that you want, and it'll tell you what legislation is pending or what has been passed. I don't generally list things that have failed, but there may be a few in there. And we also have the same for regulatory systems. This email address or this website address will get you into that. It's the same address, and you have options for mulch and soil mulch legislation, soil legislation, mulch regulations, soil regulations. If you want to get in there and look at what's going on, that is available to you 24/7. And that lists all the things that we're tracking for the year. We track 465 pieces of legislation for mulch and soil products. We read and disqualified another 1,496. So it didn't apply. We tracked 140 regulations. We disqualified 55. So the regulations don't come out as prominently as legislation. And we give you our opinion and a short synopsis so you know whether or not you want to click in and read the actual bill. which you can do from the links that we send you. And now all that is designed to keep you advised of what's going on in your state or in your market area, so you don't get surprised by inappropriate bills or bills that may hurt your business or bills that may help your business. Anybody have any questions? Certification program. Our premium potting soils are 61. We have one standard potting soil. We have 47 landscape soils and amendments. We have specialty soils, 3. Mulches, 195. We have 10 applications pending for a total of 317. And Lonnie told me we had 3 more in the greenhouse, so that's going to be 320. And 320 is the largest number of certified products we've had. If all these 10 pass, will be the largest number we've had certified in the last 20 years of the program. So thank you all for supporting that program. We appreciate that. And I also want to thank our certification audit team, Lonnie Nelson, Kevin Nelson, and Catherine Nelson, who go out on these field trips and pull the samples from retail and manufacturing sites. This is a sample of what was in our greenhouse not long ago, Lonnie's greenhouse. And it's a continuous process. We collect samples in 5 regions throughout 2024, and Lonnie administers the program and also does the greenhouse testing. MSC Certified All Natural Mulch Program is now available. So we announced this in the August newsletter, which was late coming out, and I apologize, but we delayed publication so we could get news of the plant manager's training course, which was later in August than we normally have it. If you have a certified mulch that can meet this new higher production standard and testing standard, you can add your certification status to your certification status, this new all-natural certified product category. And this is currently an underserved market where the Mulch and Soil Council can provide clear, consumer-friendly product information and identification as available to the, and this information is available on the MSC website. So feel free to contact me or review on the website to find it on our standards website. And there's materials that you can download and review on our certification webpage. There's information about the program. And again, application forms and materials that you can use. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. Or ask Lonnie. We're happy to help you with that. We did a survey, and the consumer market is growing, and it's looking for a way to identify all natural and organic products. And everybody says, "Well, there's OMRI." Well, we did a survey of the consumer market, and only 17% of the consumers said they even saw OMRI's identification on the bag, and only 4% could identify what it meant. It is not serving the market. It's not clear to them what that means. So this is an opportunity to have clear, if they can't understand Mulch and Soil Council, all natural certified, I don't know what else we could do to make it more clear for them. And this is a new opportunity that just came up in June of this year. Any questions? Next item, election of directors. Directors serve a 3-year term with 4 seats expiring every year. All directors serve without compensation or travel reimbursement. So they do it for the benefit of the council and the industry. So thank you to our current directors whose terms expire, who is Jessica Bain with Garrick, our treasurer, secretary of treasurer, Nicholas Castorano with Scott's Company, Kay Jong with Sungrow Horticulture, and Mike Sekoviak with Oldcastle Lawn and Garden Products. We did a call in the newsletter for nominations. Nominations committee did not receive any response, so the nominations committee inquired whether or not the current directors would be willing to serve for another term, and they all agreed. So the nomination committee puts forward the nominations of Jessica Bain, Nicholas Castorano, Kay Jong, and Mike Sokoviak for directors for the term of 2025 to 2028. At this point, I'm supposed to call for any nominations from the floor. Are there any nominations from the floor? Is there a motion to close nominations and elect the slate by acclamation? Sean, and then Byron. All right. Motion and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstain. Thank you. Now we have some recognition. I'm going to ask Shelley to come up and do recognitions because nobody knows how to use my camera.
So I have the honor of recognizing some of our board members. As Bob mentioned, our board members serve as volunteers. They also pay their own travel. We meet in person 3 times a year and do 1 teleconference per year, so that's a decent amount of travel. We also require them to be at the annual meeting, and we make them pay for their registration. So we give them a dinner when we get together, but outside of that, they are doing this out of their love for the industry and their desire to serve. So first, Tom Kohut from Grant County Mulch is this year's annual meeting chair. Tom and I have worked together very closely for about 8 months. We talk to each other every week, and he was really excited to plan this meeting, really excited to come up with topics, and I appreciate his enthusiasm for the meeting. Thank you, Tom. Next, we're going to recognize some of our directors who are finishing a term, but because we just did an election, maybe restarting a new term. First, we have Rick Mahoney. Is Rick in the room? From Garrick, and Jessica Bain, also from Garrick. Rick was on the board for a very long time and decided that he would like to give someone else at Garrick the opportunity to serve in their seat. So Jessica came on after Rick nominated her to the board. Board seats are by company, so he chose to have her replace him on the board for Garrick. Can we get a round of applause for Rick and Jessica? Nick Castorano from Scotts. Nick is one of our newest board members, and we already know that he's going to be next year's program chair, so I look forward to working closely with Nick next year. Kay Jong, Dr. Kay Jong. Kay's from Sun Grow Horticulture. She's also been on the board for a very long time, and she's our resident scientist. She knows all the details for everything we talk about from APCO and all those sort of things. Joe Ertl. Joe, you in the room? Joe Ertl and Mike Sakowiak from Oldcastle. Joe also was on the board for a very long time, and due to new responsibilities at Oldcastle, he decided to pass the seat along to Mike. Again, the seat belongs to the company, so Joe served most of the term, and then just this year, Mike joined us. That's the end of our recognition. We already did the election. Since we had no one nominated from the floor, we were able to move forward with the slate. And then finally, next year's meeting, time and place, September 29th through October 1st, 2026 at the Westin New Orleans. We love New Orleans. We hope you'll join us there. It's a fun city to have a conference. We got a big number to beat, 251. So we need a lot of you to come next year in New Orleans. So mark the date down. It'll also be in the newsletter and upcoming publications, and you'll start to get information next year, roughly May. So exhibitors, you guys be thinking about that. Attendees, you also be planning for that meeting in New Orleans. Do I have a motion to adjourn? A second to Jim's motion? Ricky? Second by Ricky? Any discussion? All in favor? Say aye. Before we adjourn, I'm going to remind you that we have the open-end reception and exhibit right next door in the rest of the ballroom. They have been setting up. We're going to start that at 4:30, so you have a little bit of time before that. And that is sponsored by Vermeer. So please join us tonight for cocktails and beverages. Visit all the exhibit booths. Thank our sponsors. And thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Shelley. And thank you all for participating and supporting the council. We truly appreciate, and this is what we do for you. If there's something else we can do for you, let us know.
Motion was to close nominations and vote the slate by acclamation. Yeah.
Because there was no other. Larry.
Larry.
Miguel.